Good morning. How's everybody this morning? How many of you are glad you're here? Oh, that's good. How many of you wish you were somewhere else? Oh, that's even better. Nobody raised their hand. That's really good. I'm glad to see that. If you are a guest with us today, we are so grateful for the fact that you've chosen to worship with us today. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. And inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out and drop it in the offering plate or just leave it at the information table on your way out, that would be such a big help to you and hopeful to us. And hopefully everybody picked up a bulletin. And if not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out. So if you have a bulletin, let's open it up and let's kind of take a look at what's going on. Right after the morning service, we have church family dinner. I hope that you're planning to stay with us for dinner. If you are a guest and you would like to stay and join us for dinner, you are more than welcome to be able to do that. Don't forget that out on the information table out here in the foyer are our Daily Bread devotional books. Also, we've received camp brochures that have all of the information that you need about camp. They are out there as well. And there's a whole lot of other announcements in the bulletin and just a couple of really important celebrations, I think, that are going on. This week, Don and Jan are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Wow. Isn't that great? And for those of you who don't know, Lake Hazel Baptist Church was Baptist Church before it was Bible Church. Lake Hazel Baptist Church started in their living room, right up here on the south part of Boise. And so they're celebrating 50 years of wedded bliss. Isn't that great? Isn't that good? So as you see them, make sure that you tell them happy anniversary. And then today we have a birthday. So William, there's more. Come on up. I am going to make you come up. That's exactly right. Because I can. All right. So if he tells you that he's 29, don't believe it. Okay? Just don't believe it. Yeah. There you go. All right. Let's sing happy birthday to William. So make sure that you stop by and tell him personally happy birthday as well. That'll be great. Well, many of you know that the Ritchie ladies left this week for Uganda, and they had several bins of stuff that they had to check in at the airport, but as far as I know, everything went well. But it's God through you for this ministry in Uganda has done some amazing things. And so I've asked Robert to come up and just talk about all of the stuff that you gave, all of the money that was given, and just be able to give us a report and just continue to pray for them as they are ministering for God in Uganda. Okay, Robert.
All right. Well, like Sam said, God has been able to use us to supply the orphanage over there with a lot of materials and over the next several weeks, hopefully a lot of good teaching as well. So, what was God doing through us? We have a few slides here. This works perfect. Thanks, Jeremy. So, the Ritchies left last Thursday, June 6th. They arrived in Uganda yesterday, and they arrived with all 15 of their bins. Wow. Awesome. Which, I don't know if you know anything about international travel or international travel to third world countries. Arriving with all your stuff is pretty amazing, especially when it's sitting in there in a bin, all brand new, looking perfect for the taking. So they arrived and they're there. However, one of their members, Catherine from the GES group, her flight was delayed. So she's hoping to arrive, I think, today, right, Brian? Oh, okay, great. So Catherine arrived, but her stuff hasn't. So something to be praying for, right? All right. Next, we see that through Lake Hazel Bible Church, about $8,000 has flowed through us to the orphanage in several methods. First, we see about $1,800 was spent on diapers. Now you're thinking, that seems pretty expensive for diapers, but these are reusable diapers that the orphans use, and then they can be washed, and then they can use again, and washed, and use again. So disposable diapers, not helpful to them. Reusable diapers, perfect. So $1,800 about. Next, about $5,600, I'm rounding a little bit, went directly to the GEM Foundation. That's the organization that runs the orphanages. So the GEM Foundation, this pays for the team's food, the lodging, some of the projects they do, like taking the kids swimming. I don't know if you remember some of the pictures over the last few years, taking the kids to the park, and also some medical outreach. And during this whole time, the team is able to share God's message of eternal life. And, well, I think that is all I have. One last picture here, yeah. Oh, yeah. The donor cards. Who picked up a donor card? You don't have to raise your hand. All 58 was claimed by our church. That is amazing. All 58. There were cards out there. You pick up the card. There's prayer requests. There's supply requests. That's where those 15 bins came from, including some of the Amazon list stuff. All 58 cards. I can't stress that enough. That is amazing. We have done a great job for the orphans over there. Also, things such as 22 pillowcases, 54 crib sheets, 41 twin sheets, 60 bibs. Again, all these supplies were desperately needed by the orphanage and will be used. There's a picture that the Richies took before they left, before they stuffed it all in bins. Again, amazing, right? Just amazing. So please remember to be praying for not only the Richie girls, Jen, Carissa, Kayla, but the whole team as they're over there. And this will be a little different year, right? The teaching is going to be focused on God's good news from the team. There's going to be what I expect to be a lot of medical issues that the team's going to be able to help with. And hopefully some relief that the orphanage workers will be able to get while the team is over there. All right? So please keep them in prayer. And with that, we'll turn it back over to Jared. But first, any last questions or comments about this trip? Something you want to know how to pray for, anything like that? Nope. Okay. Thank you.
God is so good. Amen.
Amen.
It's awesome. Well, let's praise him. Would you stand on your feet with me this morning? Let's lift him up.
At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow. The earth will rejoice. Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord. At your name, the morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. And there is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. We love to shout your name, O Lord. We love to shout your name, O Lord.
Give the Lord a round of applause, come on. He's worthy.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. Hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sigh, but downward bends each burning eye at mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time. Creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue this morning. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, so, so thankful for this day. God, it's good to be in your house, to sing your praises, to remember who you are and what will be. Lord, thank you for giving us that hope that we have in you. So, Lord, as we are here today, help us to choose to live the Jesus way. We love you. Amen.
If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me,
I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus, I follow Jesus. He wore my sin, I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure, he is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. If you strike me, I will embrace you. And if you chain me, I'll sing his praise. And if you kill me, my arm is heaven. For I choose the Jesus way. I follow Jesus, I follow Jesus. He wore my sin, I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure, he is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. I choose surrender, I choose to love. Oh God, my Savior, you'll always be enough. I choose forgiveness, I choose grace. I choose to worship no matter what I face. I choose the Jesus way. 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 I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the answer. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. Lord, we choose to live for you today. That's why we participated in the Uganda mission, because we choose to live your way. We love you. Amen. As we take this morning's offering right now, Lord, take what we have to give and make it all that you have prepared for it, Lord. Multiply it many times over for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. The usher is going to take this morning's offering, and if you're visiting with us, only give because you want to worship Jesus. Don't do it because we're taking an offering. I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend. He is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Let all my life testify, hallelujah, we are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Mercy's enough. His grace is sufficient. So come if you're needing forgiveness or healing. His mercy's enough. This is our hope. The cross it has spoken. Death is no more. Christ is the Lord. This is our hope. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. Yes, God really loves us. What a friend, what a Savior he is. Oh, what a Father, what a friend, what a Savior he is. Oh, what a Father, what a friend, what a Savior he is. Yes, what a Father, what a friend, what a Savior he is. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. My heart. Sing this as a prayer. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace. grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Oh, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. God, how I need you.
Now that song's a little humbling, isn't it? Every hour, every moment, oh God, I need you. You know, sometimes we get a little too big for our britches, don't we? Especially spiritually. We think we got it all figured out. We think we can do it on our own. And how's that work out for us most of the time? Yeah, not too well. Well, turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 20. Continuing on in our study of the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, our focus, there's a whole lot of things in the book of Acts we could have been focusing on, but I chose to make the focus God's mission, because God wants us as individuals to be involved in his mission. God wants us as a church and as people of the church to be involved in his mission. And his mission is to take the message of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and who Jesus is to us each and every day. We just sang, oh Lord, I need you. And he's always there to be able to guide us. And if you come to a point in your life, or you come to a point in your day to where you don't think that God is there, you don't think that God cares, you don't think that God is with you, I encourage you to read Isaiah 45 and Isaiah 46. Now, directly, what God says there about his care for his people, and what God says about the fact that he is with his people, and what God says when he says, there is no other God but me. I'm the only one. He's saying that to the nation of Israel directly. But I think indirectly, there's a lot that we can gain from that even today as believers here in the 21st century. So moving back to the book of Acts, as we've been in the book of Acts, we've seen how God has used the church, and we've seen how God has used individuals who are part of that church in his mission, and how they are just continually moving forward. And I want us to focus on that this morning, moving forward with God's mission. Now, G.K. Chesterton, who was a preacher of old, he says this: we do not want a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world. Now remember, the church isn't the building. The church isn't the parking lot. The church isn't the chairs. The church isn't the color of the walls, the color of the carpet. The church is us. The church is people. I tell people all the time, we could move and have church out in the parking lot and it would still be what? Church. Because the church is who we are. The church is what God has called us to be. God doesn't want a church that will move with the world. And that's not an easy thing. That's a hard thing. because we see our world moving more and more away from God, more and more away from the truths of God's word. We want a church that will move the world. You know, there's part of our church family today that's over in Uganda, and God is going to use them to move that part of the world closer to him. And as Robert reminded us, we all had a part in that, and we will continue to have a part in that. God needs a church on the move. He needs a church on the move where the pastor moves over to follow God's leading, where the members move onward towards spiritual maturity, where the devil and disunity move out so that the Holy Spirit can move in. Then and only then will the church move forward with God's mission. Because our goal as a church must be to grow. And I'm not talking about attendance. That means spiritual growth. Spiritual growth in the life of believers. And it means moving forward with God's mission and God's message. Now, I'm here to tell you that probably in most of the churches in the Treasure Valley, none of those pastors that are preaching from their pulpits this morning would not make the comment, we don't need to grow in attendance. Because most of them, that's all they're about. And I know that, because as I used to go to ministerial meetings and hang around with pastors, it's not very long as you're talking with a group of pastors before the question comes up, so how big is your church? How big is your church? And I used to say, you know what? God's church is just the right size. God's church that he allows me to be able to minister in is just the right size. Because it's not about how big it is. It's about what are they doing for God? What are the people in the church? What are they learning about God? What are they learning from God's word? What are they doing with what it is? Are they applying it to their lives? And there's no greater thrill that this pastor gets than when he hears you and when he sees you making decisions for your everyday life based upon the truths of God's word. That excites me. That makes me proud. Not proud of who I am, but proud of what God is doing in and among us. It means moving forward with God's mission and God's message. So how can we move forward with God's mission? Well, here in chapter 20, verses 1 through 12, I think God gives us a picture of what that looks like. God gives us some things for us to be able to consider when it means that we're to be moving forward with God's mission and message. So the first thing is to embrace one another. Look at verse 1. After the uproar, remember the uproar? Remember there was a riot? And remember they moved, this mob moved to the theater that sat like 25,000 people or more. And they were all sitting in there and they were all chanting about their god Diana or their god Artemis. Remember that? And it was so loud, and they tried to get him quiet, and they wouldn't quiet down. And some Jew stands up to try to get him quiet, and they shouted him down. And then finally the town clerk, he stands up, which is the mayor, he stands up, and he finally got him quiet, remember? And so verse 1 in chapter 20, after that uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples. And after, do you see the word? Encouraging them. He said farewell and departed for Macedonia. We are to embrace one another. Paul embraced these disciples. It wasn't one of those, okay, meet me down at the boat dock and I'll wave to you as the boat is pulling away and headed in a different direction. No, they stood there and they talked and they hugged and they embraced one another. Paul embraced these disciples. He wrapped his arms around them in genuine Jesus-like care and affection. And you know what? We must learn to embrace each other. And I'm not just talking about physical hugs. If you've been here any length of time, you understand that this is a hugging church. And I'm so thankful for that because I'm a hugging pastor. Okay, and if you didn't get your hug today, you see me afterwards. And I'll even take time from going through the line to be able to give you a hug. But I'm not talking about physical hugs. I'm talking about getting close to each other, caring for each other, praying for each other. How many of you are so familiar with your church bulletin that you understand that every Sunday there's a portion of our church bulletin that is set aside with prayer requests of people in our church? Prayer requests of their families, prayer requests of their own things, prayer requests of ministries. We have in there to pray for the Richie ladies as they're in Uganda. We've got kids that are going to serve at camp. We have kids that are going to be campers at camp. We have in there to pray for them. We have people who are going through some physical challenges. We have some of the people in our church whose family members are going through some physical challenges. How many of you are so familiar with our bulletin, you know that? And not only do you know that, but you take that every day and you spend time praying for those in your church family, for those who are doing those things. I'm talking about getting close to each other. I'm talking about real godly concern for one another. I'm talking about being there for each other. And when we do that, we are moving God's mission and we are moving God's message forward. In fact, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone." But it doesn't stop there. "And especially to those who are of the household of faith." When was the last time you reached out to somebody in our church family and just said, "You know, God brought you to my heart today. I just wanted to say, yeah, that I'm praying for you. I just want you to know how much I appreciate the fact that you're a part of our church family." When was the last time you did that? It's never too late to be able to do that. We need to embrace one another. In order to move forward with God's mission, not only do we need to embrace one another, we need to encourage one another. Paul went out of his way to encourage. Look at verse 2. "And when he had gone through those regions, he had given them much," what's the word? Encouragement. "He came to Greece." Paul went out of his way to encourage others. "When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece." A very influential pastor and Christian author of our day is Chuck Swindoll. You might have heard of him. And one of Chuck Swindoll's teachers and mentors in seminary was a fellow named Howard Hendricks. You might have heard of him as well. In fact, I remember one time hearing Dr. Hendricks speak. He wasn't one of my professors when I went to seminary. He wasn't one of mine because I didn't go to Dallas because Dallas was too big. But I went to a little seminary and Bible college in Ankeny, Iowa, in the middle of nowhere, cornfields. But it was good. It was good for me to be able to be there. But I heard Dr. Hendricks say one time to his preacher boys, he said, "Listen," he says, "when you preach God's word, you take the cookies and put them on the lower shelf so that everybody can have some. Don't preach over their heads." That's what he was saying. So Dr. Hendricks said this about Chuck Swindoll, because he remembered Chuck Swindoll as a real go-getter in school. Dr. Hendricks said, "I felt this guy was a winner from the moment I met him. He always sat in the front row. His questions were very perceptive, and even after class, the questions didn't stop. It was abundantly clear that this man had a bright future ahead of him." Wow. Even Dr. Hendricks could see the potential that was in Chuck Swindoll. But Chuck Swindoll said that he struggled with self-doubt for years, and at times even thought of quitting the ministry. Wait a minute, the same guy? Yep. And that may be hard for us to believe. And one important factor that helped Chuck to hang in there was his relationship with Dr. Hendricks. As Chuck said, "Hendricks believed in me when I didn't believe in myself." I can't imagine Chuck Swindoll quitting the ministry and not being as effective for God as God allowed him to be able to be. What would have happened if Chuck Swindoll didn't have the encouragement of Dr. Howard Hendricks? What might happen to others who are involved with God's mission if you or I don't encourage them? We're also to move forward. We're to employ effective strategies. Paul decided to change his plans and move to a different direction. Look at verses 2 and 3. "And when he had gone through these regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months, And when a plot was made against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. A Bible historian explains that each year, a pilgrim ship left the port city of Cenchrea for Israel to take Jewish people home for their annual festivals. Paul, it would seem, planned to sail on one of these pilgrim ships. And word of Paul's decision leaked out. And some of the enemies of God's mission decided among themselves that this would be a great opportunity to get rid of Paul. But Paul, however, found out about that plot, changed his plans, and headed north back to Macedonia. Paul needed to go in a different direction. And we must be willing to do the same as God leads us. Now, of course, most of the time our lives are not hanging in the balance, so it's not that big of a deal for us to change direction. But something even more important may be hanging in the balance, the internal destiny of people. God wants us to tell the message of Jesus as Savior for eternal life. When God changes our direction, maybe he's leading us to a place, maybe he's leading us to a people that need to hear the message of Jesus as Savior for eternal life. Now, I know you're all sitting there and you're all going, but Pastor, you don't understand. Pastor, you don't know me. I don't like change. Well, I could say something here. What a bunch of Baptists you are. You know, Baptists don't like change. In fact, the anthem of the Baptist isn't the old rugged cross or how great thou art. It's I shall not be moved. You ever sang that old gospel song? Yep. Okay. We are such creatures of habit that we just don't want to embrace change. And you know what? I got a confession to make. I'm no different than you all. I'm just the same. I don't like change. I have the same routine every single morning. Okay? Alexa wakes me up in the morning. And I get up and I go to the refrigerator and I get out my insulin injection pin and I go to the bathroom and I get out my needle and I get out the injection pin and I turn it to the dosage and I give myself a shot and I put all of that away and I take the needle that I just used and I put it in a little baggie until the baggie gets full and I put it in a container to be able to properly dispose of it later on down the road. I take a hand towel. I know this is TMI, right? More information than you wanted to know, but you need to know that I have this routine. I take a hand towel and I put it in the bottom of my sink. And then I get medicine out of my medicine cabinet. I take an aspirin for me. I take an aspirin for Becky. I take my other morning medicine and I put it on the hand towel. Now you're all going, why the hand towel, Pastor? Because I'm tired of losing medicine down the drain. I'm cheap. I don't want to keep replacing it just because it ends up going down the drain. So, by the way, if you don't ever do that, you can start doing that. It's not original with me, okay? All right, okay? And so then I go to the refrigerator and I pour myself some cold water because I don't like warm water, cold water. I go back in and I take my medicine. And I pick up the aspirin for Becky. I pick up my pill case with my lunch medicine and my supper medicine. And I put it on my tray table. And I take my insulin and I put it back in the refrigerator. I take Becky's aspirin and I put it on the kitchen counter where she will see it so that when she's ready, she can take it. And then I have a calendar, one of those flip calendars, and I have one of those on the refrigerator, and I have one of those on the counter. I flip those to the proper day when I remember, and then I go about the rest of my getting ready for the day. I do the same thing every morning. Every day that ends in Y, it doesn't change. Why? Because I don't like change, okay? I don't wake up and I don't say, how am I going to get ready today? I don't even think about it. It just happens. We are such creatures of habit. And you know, even because we're such creatures of habit, even good changes can be a struggle. So some of you have recently gone through surgery. Could you imagine having surgery today without anesthesia? What did they used to do before anesthesia? Well, let me tell you. Patients were strapped down while a scalpel and a saw cut through tissue and bone, every slice and turn of the knife causing unbelievable pain. I know, Pastor, you had to tell us this before lunch. But guess what? There was a Christian doctor who decided to do something about this. He lived in Scotland, and his name was James Simpson. He lived from 1811 to 1870, and Dr. Simpson became senior president of the Royal Medical Society of Edinburgh at age 24. And in time, he received every honor and position possible. And he dreamed of finding a way of putting patients to sleep during surgery. So on Monday evenings, Dr. Simpson invited small groups of physicians to his home to experiment with chemicals, crystals, and powders, which were placed over a burning fire while doctors inhaled the fumes. Nothing worked until November 4th, 1847. One of the men had purchased a crystal called chloroform in Paris. As the doctor sniffed the burning substance, they fell to the floor unconscious. Dr. Simpson had his answer, but he soon encountered another problem. He was attacked by Christians who claimed that pain was a God-ordained part of life. They taught that freedom from pain comes only in heaven, and it was immoral to devise dangerous ways of escaping the pain here on earth. They didn't want change. Dr. Simpson went to the Bible seeking answers, and he opened his Bible. He came to Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, where he read this: "The Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up his place with flesh." God used the truth of his word to give Dr. Simpson all that was needed to silence his critics, to quiet the noise of those who resisted change, and a new day in medicine dawned. Sometimes God directs our path. Sometimes he changes our direction. Sometimes we have our day, we have our routine all planned out, and something happens that changes it, and we go, "Whoa, I can't handle this." When God changed our plans because he has a mission that he wants fulfilled. He has a message that he wants proclaimed, and he wants you to take that message because you have chosen to be available for what? His mission. As we move forward, we also need to enlist others. Look at verses 4 through 6. 4 through 6 gives us a list of fellow workers of Paul. Sopater, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him. And of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. Paul enlisted others. It's important to note that Paul worked with a variety of people. Did you catch this? Sopater and Aristarchus and Secundus were from the Macedonian churches. Gaius and Timothy were Galatians. Tychicus and Trophimus were a part of the churches of Asia. In fact, in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, we see that God's church is made up of the redeemed from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. I think that tells us something, that God wants us to work together with all kinds of people when possible. And we may never do all that God wants us to do without the help of more believers, new believers, growing spiritually strong so that they can serve in God's mission in an effective way. We need to ask God and trust God to provide more workers. And when he sends them to us, we need to train them. You see, that's what the church is all about, is training disciples as they come to believe in Jesus as Savior. This is what Jesus commanded us to do. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make,'" what? "Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching, training them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus instructed us as we're involved in his mission, as we're proclaiming his message, whether we be individuals or the church, to make more disciples. Jesus instructed us to teach them, to train them to observe all things that he has commanded for them to be able to do. And then as we move forward, we need to be those who examine God's word. This is the way to train the disciples God sends our way. We don't train them in the way of the culture. We don't train them in the way of society. We train them in the word of God. You realize this morning that you could have gone to other churches today and the preacher would have got up and not once opened the Bible. Not once. I've heard of churches. I've heard people leave those churches. And some of you have had that experience, and that's why you're here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. Because you say, I've been looking, I've been praying that God would send us to a church that what? Preaches and teaches God's word. We're to examine God's word. This is the way to train the disciples that God sends our way. Paul always placed a strong emphasis on God's word. Remember, one of the guys tells us he was from Berea. Remember what the Bereans were known for? They were known for what? Examining the scriptures. How often? Every day. Every day. And remember, we talked about how that ought to be said of us, that we examine the scriptures every day. Paul always placed a strong emphasis on God's word. Look at verses 7 and 8. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break the bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered. Don't worry, I'm not Paul. I'm not going to preach till midnight. But verse 11 tells us they ended up talking about God's word all night long. Isn't that exciting? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great to be in a situation to where you come together and you just talk about God's word? Can I let you in on a little secret? That's often what happens at our men's breakfast. We gather together for breakfast, but then we end up talking about God's word. Oh, in this little pocket of people over here at this table, and this little pocket of people over here at that table. But it doesn't take very long before God's word starts becoming what it is that we talk about. What a great blessing that is. God wants us to examine his word regularly, extensively, devotedly, humbly, knowing that it will give us the most important guidance we will ever need in life. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. But not only do we need Jesus, we need his word every day. Because God's word always points in the right direction. Let me say that again. God's word always points in the right direction. It's like scuba diving. One of the important things that scuba divers are, and I just found out right before the morning service, that not only the important thing that scuba divers are taught, but the first thing that scuba divers are taught is that your air bubbles will always point you in the right direction. So trust them. When you are deep underwater, you're surrounded by an aura of light because the surface of the water spreads the light out around you, and it's hard for you to be able to keep your bearings. It's very difficult in that aura of light that's shining around you to realize which way really is up. And since you have a sense of weightlessness in the water, it is easy to get disoriented and to lose your sense of direction. And part of that is you don't know which way is up. Now, you may feel so strongly that your perception of up is correct that you will ignore your air bubbles and go the way that you think is right. And so the scuba diver is taught to always trust and follow his bubbles. No matter what you think or feel, your bubbles are always correct. They always go up. So always follow your bubbles. Always. And if a diver chooses to ignore the bubbles because he thinks he knows which way to go, it could lead to his peril. You know, many people in our culture, in our world today, are disoriented. They've lost their way because they've ignored the bubbles. They've ignored the only thing in life that is trustworthy and true, God's word. And just like the diver's bubbles, God's word is always right. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. The Bible is always right. And then the last thing for us to be able to know moving forward in God's mission with God's message is to expect God to work. I'm going to read verses 9 through 12, and I want you to watch God do an amazing thing here. And a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked on longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms, said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." And when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the youth away, did you get this? Alive, and were not a little comforted. Eutychus, you know what Eutychus' name means? Fortunate. Eutychus was a lot more than fortunate. He was extremely blessed. He fell out of a three-story window because Paul just didn't know when to quit. Paul ignored his watch. He ignored his clock on the back of the wall. He just kept going. And Eutychus fell asleep, and he falls out of this window, and now he's dead. But he came back to life. And it wasn't Paul that healed Eutychus. God did. And this same God who healed Eutychus is here with us right now. And we, as we are involved in God's mission with God's message, we can expect great things from him. God is doing great things here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. And because of you, he's doing great things in your community. He's doing great things in your workplace. And because of what God is doing here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, as you've already heard this morning, God is doing great things even yet today in Uganda. Expect great things from God. So here's what I want you to remember this morning. God desires for our church to move forward, not backwards. God desires to do great things in us and through us. Let's trust him to do it. Father, we trust you this morning to help us to be the church individually as well as the church collectively, to move forward for you as we're involved in the mission that you have given to us to proclaim the message of Jesus as Savior for eternal life. Every opportunity that you give to us. Father, I know that you desire to do great things in us and through us. May we be those willing participants in your mission, proclaiming your wonderful message. And Father, help us, each and every one of us, to trust you to do it over and over and over again. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song?
Count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. He won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will let you ride in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. All my
I count on one thing, the same God never fails. I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late, He's working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Let nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Oh,